Welcome to the second hour's reading of the Midland Reporter-Telegram and the Odessa American. You can hear this program on Recording Library of West Texas Radio and on demand at recordinglibrary.org.
Hello, this is April reading the Midland Reporter-Telegram for Saturday, July 31, 2021. Viewpoints. Community. Nonprofit Eyes Future. While the Building Inspiration campaign has gone off successfully, it has encountered a few unexpected challenges. Before construction could commence, MARC faced new zoning permitting, foundation improvements, and other requirements. These unforeseen costs totaled a new need of $500,000. MARC ready to launch new fundraising campaign. MARC. MARC has been a premier resource center for individuals with intellectual and/or developmental disabilities living in the Permian Basin since 1959. In response to a growing need for services, coupled with outdated facilities that no longer adequately support clients or staff, the MARC Board of Directors launched its $7 million capital campaign, Building Inspiration, in December of 2018. According to the Texas Workforce Investment Council, there are an estimated 23,591 individuals diagnosed with cognitive disabilities in the Permian Basin alone. Even still, there are fewer than a dozen organizations in the Permian Basin area that support individuals with such disabilities and their families. The Building Inspiration campaign will meet this community need head-on. Erection of a new 16,000-square-foot Anwar Family Inspiration Center will become the hub of MARC's daily operations. Improvements will include larger, more private clinic space, dedicated staff training space, a new boardroom, conference room, and executive conference room. MARC will also debut a brand new day-use building. This 2,500-square-foot facility will provide an enriching environment for individuals with severe autism and other profound disabilities more suited to their specialized needs. Demolition and reconstruction of the Inspiration Park, previously called the MARC Opportunity Park, is set to complete in the summer of 2022. This inclusive park will feature all new play structures, equipment, a music area, and a pavilion. The Inspiration Park will be accessible to children of all abilities. Following MARC's launch of Building Inspiration, funds were successfully secured for the $7 million campaign through foundational, corporate, and individual giving in the fall of the following year. Demolition of the Opportunity Park began in December of 2020, and construction of the new building followed soon after. As of summer 2021, the project has seen quite a bit of progress. The day-use building's walls are up, and the Anwar Family Inspiration Center Foundation has been poured and cured. While the Building Inspiration campaign has gone off rather successfully, it has encountered a few unexpected challenges. Before construction could commence, MARC faced new zoning permitting, foundation improvements, and other requirements. These unforeseen costs totaled a new need of $500,000. MARC is currently in the process of launching a new campaign to raise these extra funds. MARC is excited to make available naming opportunities at the new property. Opportunities include board and executive rooms in the Inspiration Center, classrooms at the day-use building, and a pavilion and play equipment at the Inspiration Park. Additionally, MARC is in the works for its upcoming brick campaign. Supporters of MARC will be able to purchase bricks that will lay around the pavilion at the Inspiration Park. For more information regarding these opportunities, visit marctexas.org, marctexas.org, or contact Coleman Sneed or David Stevens directly at 432-695-9901. MARC is thrilled to complete its Building Inspiration campaign and better serve its community. Minchu steps into executive director role for organization, MARC. The MARC Board of Directors has named Kayla Minchu as the new executive director of MARC. Minchu will succeed Charlotte Busecker, who served MARC for over 30 years. We are excited to welcome Kayla as the next executive director of our organization as we transition into a new era. Kayla's passion and care for those MARC serves is apparent to anyone who meets her. One of Midland's best qualities is the selfless dedication of its citizens in service of others, especially those in need. And Kayla is one of the best examples, said Johnny Hines, board president of MARC. Minchu received her Bachelor of Music degree with a major in music therapy from West Texas A&M University. Before moving to Midland in 2012, Minchu's nonprofit experience began at an after-school program for socioeconomically disadvantaged children. Minchu joined MARC in January of 2013 and played a crucial role in developing MARC's youth therapy center, Spectrum of Solutions, later assuming the position of Director of Spectrum of Solutions. I believe MARC represents empowerment, Minchu said. Our responsibility as an organization is to provide opportunities for a fulfilling life for our clients with intellectual and developmental disabilities. My desire is that MARC is known as a resource for the Midland community, whether it is for a family of a child newly diagnosed with autism or an adult with an intellectual disability who is having difficulty living an independent life. We want to be the place the community can trust to ask for assistance. The love Minchu has for the population MARC supports is immense. Stepping into the new role, Minchu already has her sights set on the future. Minchu said, "As we move into this next chapter of MARC's story, I aspire for MARC to be a true advocate for our clients. We are setting a goal to better educate our community about individuals with disabilities and encourage equitable opportunities for work and play. I truly consider it an honor and privilege to serve as the executive director of MARC. I have come to love our clients and staff like family, and I hope our community has the opportunity to do the same." Guest column. Permian Basin MPO leverages growth funds. Cameron Walker, Permian Basin MPO. The Permian Basin MPO Policy Board met July 19 to review the draft Texas Department of Transportation Unified Transportation Program, UTP. The UTP is Texas DOT's 10-year planning program for highway-related projects. The UTP is required to be passed prior to September 1 annually. Each MPO and Texas DOT district submits its prioritized project list for consideration by the Texas Transportation Commission to be included into the UTP. The document indicates the list of projects and the identified funding sources. No project can be started on the state-owned and managed corridors unless it is listed in the UTP. In December 2020, the MPO's policy board passed a resolution listing the Midland-Odessa region's top priority projects. Most of the MPO's projects are shown in the draft UTP to be fully funded, with few exceptions. Priority projects in the region include interchange at Cotton Flat at Interstate 20 in Midland, $39.2 million. Intersection at State Highway 158 at Wadley Avenue in Midland, $3.6 million. Intersection at State Highway 158 at County Road 120 in Midland County, $4 million. Rail crossing at Business 20, County Road 1250 in Midland County, $6.6 million. Traffic signal at Moss Avenue, I-20 Service Road in Ector County, $750,000. Safety improvements, medians, State Highway 191 from Loop 338 East to Loop 338 West in Odessa, $6 million. Safety improvements, medians, from DeMarket Road 1882 to Kermit Highway in Odessa, $6 million. Partially funded projects include upgrade to freeway on Loop 338 Northeast, additional funding needed, $13.4 million. Interchange at Todd Road at Loop 250, additional funding needed, $21.4 million. The MPO Policy Board has committed its funds to leverage additional Texas DOT dollars to benefit the region in an amount of $533.533 million, as shown in the draft UTP. The MPO's directly allocated funds are $152.199 million. By committing its funds for important transportation projects, the MPO Policy Board has attracted an additional $375.333 million of state funding and $2 million from the Midland Development Corps, as well as $4 million from the Odessa Development Corps. This board commitment and subsequent leveraging netted a return ratio of 3.5 to 1. The policy board of the MPO continues to effectively plan and fund the transportation needs necessary for the economic growth of the region. A significant portion of the MPO's funding and Texas DOT funding overall comes from the oil and gas severance taxes collected and sent to Texas DOT for distribution statewide. All of these newly listed projects were reviewed and approved by the Policy Board in December 2020 based on numerous selection criteria, including the project's anticipated impact on road safety, traffic congestion, economic development, and connection to other modes such as transit, airport, and rail. Transportation system users should be aware that the Policy Board regularly passes resolutions in support of the regional and Texas DOT objectives of increasing safety, improving road and bridge condition, and ensuring that there is an expectation by the traveling public and freight providers that movement in this region is reasonably predictable. The Permian Basin Policy Board consists of 5 elected officials and 2 appointed officials. Debbie Hayes, Ector County Judge, is the board chair. Midland Council Member Jack Ladd Jr. is the vice chair. Odessa Council Member Tom Sprawls, Midland County Commissioner Robin Donnelly, Martin County Judge Brian Cox, Easy Rider General Manager Doug Province, and John Speed, Texas DOT Odessa District Engineer. The MPO maintains a website at PermianBasinMPO.com. The draft UTP may be found at TXDOT.gov. Cameron Walker is the Executive Director of the Permian Basin MPO. Editor's View: Issues in Neighboring Areas in Olympics Affect Midland. Stuart Doreen, Editor. The Nuclear Regulatory Commission reported this week that their staff recommends approving the federal license to bring and store high-level nuclear waste at the disposal site in Andrews. It probably shouldn't come as a surprise to anyone. While I appreciate the protests and concerns raised, it was easy to see this coming from the day it was reported that a site would open up in Andrews County. I was silent upon hearing the news that a disposal site would open in West Texas, as were so many others in Midland County. It's a shame the bottom line ultimately will have driven this decision to bring stuff that nobody wants in West Texas, and within 50 miles or so of Midland. It is a shame that leaders in Andrews thought so little of their public spaces that they believed a site that could eventually become a storage facility for high-level waste was appropriate for their area. And others in West Texas, including myself, were silent. We didn't want to mess in the business of others. That is an Andrews issue, I often thought to myself. But it isn't. Midlanders, Odessans, and others in West Texas are now dependent on bureaucrats in Washington to come to our rescue. Yikes! One can add people in Washington, D.C., no matter the administration, to the list of those that see West Texas as expendable. Our concerns, such as immigration or energy issues, are none of their concerns. We see it over and over again. When a federal license is eventually approved, we can say we put up a good fight, but we also will know that this fight was lost long ago. And it was clear our neighbors in Andrews first decided to bring radioactive waste to our region. About athletic fields and universities. I have to say, I have been interested in the fight taking place in Odessa about UTPB, its athletic fields, and sports organizations. I have been interested because I am a believer that our schools are sitting on prime land that could be used for recreation purposes. They are, after all, public spaces, and in many cases unused for far too long. It is a shame that UTPB, the city of Odessa, and sports organizations couldn't sit at the table and come through with an agreement for the next 50 years. The same can be said for the creation of new athletic surfaces at Midland ISD schools, the city of Midland, and other areas across our community. We all have to give and take a little. The same rules that applied in 2000 might not be appropriate in 2021, and being community-minded is better than operating in silos. Let's hope we in Midland learn from what is taking place in Odessa, realize that the money that we will dedicate to parks is not endless, and come up with agreements that don't just benefit the city, sports organizations, and education, but a community. Simone Biles and mental health. I don't have anything new to add about the Olympic gymnast and her mental health issues, except to say her trials remind me that local investment in mental health efforts in Midland is some of the best money spent. For all the discussion about how we should dedicate money for quality of life efforts and other things, our community is not nearly what it can be if our mental health doesn't match our physical well-being. It is important that we err on the side of overfunding, because these are different times with the divisiveness in the community, on social media, COVID, the exodus from the church, and other factors. We need more facilities, like the Texas Tech Child Psychiatry Hub. There are other efforts that are being funded, and the Reporter Telegram will bring more details about those. But we hope to say those are the tips of the icebergs for a community that is becoming more proactive about the well-being of its residents. Nothing can be built if mental health issues make it impossible to enjoy them.
Here is the oil page from the Midland Reporter Telegram, Friday, August 6th. Russia reaches number two among foreign oil suppliers to U.S. by Sheila Tobin and Jeffrey Blair, Bloomberg. Russia is supplying more oil to the U.S. than any other foreign producer aside from Canada, as American refiners scour the globe for gasoline-rich feedstocks to feed surging motor fuel demand. U.S. imports of crude and refined petroleum products from its former Cold War adversary surged 23% in May to 844,000 barrels a day from the prior month, government data showed. Mexico was edged out of the number two spot, as its shipments to its northern neighbor rose by less than 3%. Russia has become a favored source for U.S. fuel makers, largely because it produces ample supplies of semi-refined oils such as Mazut 100, an ideal feedstock for American refineries accustomed to processing thick, sludgy crude from Venezuela and the Middle East. Cargoes from the former dried up due to sanctions, and OPEC-orchestrated output limits have crimped shipments from the latter, leaving an opening for Russian exporters. The rise in Russian shipments is happening despite intensifying rancor between Washington and the Kremlin over a controversial pipeline that will haul Siberian gas to Germany. But in the absence of actual sanctions, U.S. companies are not bound by the diplomatic and geopolitical goals of the White House. Russian feedstock seems to be functioning as a good substitute for Venezuelan oil, particularly in the high-demand summer season, said Shirin Lakhani, director of Global Oil Service at Rapidan Energy Group. Despite Russia's ascendance, it's no threat to Canada's preeminence as the largest foreign crude supplier to the world's biggest economy. In fact, Canada accounts for almost half of U.S. imports, delivering almost five times as much as Russia, the data showed. Nevertheless, the importance of the U.S. market looms large in Moscow, where Federal Customs Service records show America is the single largest buyer of the nation's heavy oil products, the category that includes Mazut 100. U.S. buyers absorbed almost one-fifth of Russian heavy oil exports during the first 5 months of the year. Most of the U.S.-bound Russian crude has docked along the West Coast to feed refineries like Phillips 66's plant 100 miles north of Seattle and California refiners owned by Chevron Corporation and Valero Energy Corporation, government data showed. Refiners in Texas and Louisiana also have been buying Russian oil products. Just last week, 1.5 million barrels from the Black and Baltic Seas landed in the region. The influx was substantial enough to cut prices at the Houston Ship Channel by 3% earlier this week. EOG earns $907 million during second quarter, by Paul Takashi, staff writer. EOG Resources turned a gigantic profit in the second quarter as reopening economies lifted oil prices. The Houston Independent Oil Company on Wednesday said it earned $907 million in the 3 months ended June 30th, up from earnings of $677 million in the first quarter and a loss of $910 million a year earlier. Revenue grew nearly 11% to $4.1 billion compared with the first quarter and was up from revenue of $1.1 billion a year earlier. Our outstanding second quarter results are a testament to EOG's special culture, CEO Bill Thomas said in a statement. EOG has never been in better shape, and we are getting even better. EOG's banner earnings are yet another sign of the industry's recovery from the worst oil bust in decades caused by the global pandemic, which forced companies to slash spending and lay off thousands of employees. EOG, which did not have mass layoffs last year, has benefited from higher oil prices as coronavirus vaccines have allowed economies to reopen and crude demand to recover. At the same time, the company has become more efficient with its production and lowered operating costs. The company said it has nearly eliminated routine flaring, or burning off of natural gas, and is increasing its percentage of recycled water in its operations. Our goal remains to be among the lowest cost, highest return, and lowest emissions producers, and to play a significant role in the long-term future of energy in its operations. It also recently started a carbon capture and storage pilot project. Apache reports solid second quarter profit, by Paul Takashi, staff writer. Apache, a subsidiary of APA Corporation, turned a profit in the second quarter as reopening economies lifted oil demand and prices. The Houston Oil Company on Wednesday said it made $316 million during the 3 months ended June 30th, compared with profits of $388 million in the first quarter and a loss of $386 million a year ago. Revenue fell to $1.8 billion from nearly $2.1 billion in the first quarter, but was up from revenue of $596 million a year ago. A combination of strong well performance in the U.S., continued capital and cost discipline, and a favorable price environment enabled free cash flow generation of nearly $400 million during the quarter, CEO John Christman IV said in a statement. The oil industry is slowly but steadily recovering from the worst oil bust in decades caused by the global pandemic, which forced companies to slash spending and lay off thousands of employees. The industry has benefited from higher oil prices as coronavirus vaccines have allowed economies to reopen and crude demand to recover. Yet even as oil companies have recovered to nearly $70 a barrel above pre-pandemic levels, energy companies remain restrained, focused on paying down debt and boosting investor returns instead of boosting oil production. State news. Governor Abbott orders second special session, by Paul J. Weber and Acacius Coronado Associated Press, Austin. Governor Greg Abbott on Thursday ordered the legislature to reconvene for a third time to try to pass a Republican-backed voting restrictions bill that Democratic members blocked by leaving the state nearly a month ago. The announcement, which had been expected, puts new pressure on the more than 50 Democratic lawmakers who left Texas for Washington, D.C. on July 12th and have remained there since. They had been preparing to celebrate running out the clock on the current 30-day special session that ends Friday, which would torpedo the sweeping elections overhaul for the second time since May. But their holdout may not be over. Some Democrats said this week that they had no intention of returning to the state capitol, even if they returned to Texas and faced possible arrest to compel their attendance. State Representative Chris Turner, the leader of the House Democratic Caucus, would not say, following Abbott's announcement, whether they would return before the new session begins Saturday. But asked about members who say they will keep refusing to show up, Turner told the Associated Press, "It's very much under discussion. I'll just leave it at that." Abbott, who is up for re-election in 2022, made a new elections package, part of a 17-item agenda he instructed the GOP-led legislature to consider over the next month. It includes other hot-button measures sought by conservative activists, including new border security measures and rules over how race is taught in public schools. "I will continue to call special session after special session to reform our broken bail system, uphold election integrity, and pass other important items that Texans demand and deserve," Abbott said. The cross-country exodus last month marked the second time that Democratic lawmakers staged a walkout on the voting overhaul, which they say would make it harder for young people, people of color, and people with disabilities to vote. But like the first effort in May, there remains no clear path for Democrats to permanently block the voting measures or the other contentious GOP-backed proposals up for debate. Odessa American Opinion Page, Friday, August 6th. Texas View. Our conference realignment wish list. The point. Changes should protect old rivalries, not leave Texas schools behind. If you take a step back, the impending NCAA conference realignment makes sense. Texas and Oklahoma are tired of hearing about the Southeastern Conference being the best in the nation. Enough time has passed that people have forgotten how Texas reacted when Texas A&M left the Big 12 Conference for the SEC. The SEC is more than happy to welcome a couple of cash cows into the herd. No offense, Bevo. And neither the NCAA nor the other Big 12 schools have the power to stop the move. We get it. A team's going to do what's best for it, even if it means decommitting, a word coaches hate. We also realize there are a lot of forces at play here, including a whole heap of money. It didn't escape our notice that the fine these two schools could face for breaking their Big 12 commitment is equal to the contract the Aggies signed to hire Jimbo Fisher. And we realize more changes are likely imminent. Rather than sorting through the broadcast rights and conference contracts, we'd like to offer a few suggestions on what the goals should be. We hold out hope for an outcome that is good for the state of Texas, for North Texas, and for our fans. When all this shakes out, we'd like to see a solution that preserves or restores historic rivalries and doesn't leave significant Texas schools behind. We would like to see a system that guarantees that Texas A&M plays Texas, Texas plays Oklahoma, SMU plays TCU, and Texas Tech plays Baylor. Up north, the bedlam game between Oklahoma and Oklahoma State should continue. And for good measure, please don't mess with the Grambling State Prairie View A&M rivalry either. There are state and regional factors to consider, too. What's good for North Texas football is good for the state. Dallas-Fort Worth is the fifth largest media market in the nation, according to Nielsen ratings. It won't do to replace Texas and Oklahoma with Group of Five schools, though we would support SMU moving to a revamped Big 12. And it won't do for North Texas and West Texas to produce high school football powerhouses while shortchanging college football programs. Dallas-Fort Worth by itself has more five-star high school recruits than most states in the nation. It would be a shame for all of that talent to go elsewhere. What's good for North Texas football is also good for the athletes who play it. Fully 89% of student athletes at SMU graduate, which puts them ahead of all but three Big 12 schools. At TCU, the rate is a respectable 87%. Whatever happens next, we're sure of three things. Boomer Sooner will still be the most annoying song in the sports. Permian High School will still field a better team than any university in Houston. And Aggie Twitter will still keep us entertained. Column by the Dallas Morning News. Here's an article from the Odessa American Sports page, published on Wednesday, August 4th. College football. Big 12 talks money after latest changes. 50% loss of revenue possible. The Associated Press, Austin. The Big 12 Conference could see the value of its television deal cut in half once Texas and Oklahoma bolt for the Southeastern Conference, Big 12 Commissioner Bob Bowlesby said Monday at a hearing of Texas lawmakers. A committee of Texas senators heard testimony from university leaders at Baylor, TCU, and Texas Tech on the monetary and academic losses that conference realignment would mean for the Big 12 and its members once Texas and Oklahoma leave for the SEC in 2025. University of Texas at Austin President Jay Hartzell testified that the path to making the switch became clear into the summer, and that UT told Bowlesby that in a call following news of the move. Hartzell said the school would continue to honor all agreements. Up until the moment you hit send on the decision, you're always thinking, is this the right thing for the University of Texas at Austin? Hartzell said. Bowlesby has been highly critical of both Texas and Oklahoma, accusing them of plotting for months to leave the 10-member league for the powerful SEC. He also accused ESPN of working behind the scenes to gut the Big 12, even sending a cease and desist order that the cable giant refuted, but backed off that stance Monday. We have agreed not to escalate this publicly. It's in neither party's best interest to do so. Of far more interest to the Texas lawmakers was the future of the Big 12 without the Sooners and Longhorns. Bowlesby said the TV contract value would take a 50% hit. The Big 12 distributed $345 million to its 10 members this year, $34.5 million apiece, down from the previous year because of the pandemic. Most of that cut revenue comes from the Big 12's TV deals, including ESPN. The SEC is positioned to distribute as much as $70 million annually to its members in coming years. Bowlesby said he supported the idea of the remaining Big 12 teams sticking together and said they are exploring their options, but he said he wouldn't blame any school for looking out for themselves first, but there is a right way to do it. Members of the Senate panel focused their questions on the economic impact to Texas cities such as Fort Worth, Waco, and Lubbock, the homes of the Big 12 Texas schools being left behind. Baylor President Linda Livingstone told the committee that the livelihood of some Texas communities was at stake since the opponent mattered in ticket sales and attracting larger crowds. Baylor Athletic Director Mac Rhodes said the financial implications could put into question upcoming projects, including the building of a new basketball arena, and affect academic opportunities for students. Rhodes said the school, like others impacted, will also struggle to attract and keep talent on the field and in coaching staffs. The economic impact is real, Rhodes said less than 4 months after the men's basketball team won the NCAA championship. If we are no longer a member of a Power Five, we will sell less tickets, we will sell less merchandise, we will raise less money, and we will have less corporate sponsorship.
Clarifying comments on plantar warts. Dr. Roach writes, a recent column on treatment of plantar warts generated a flurry of responses from readers, including a myriad of home remedies. Two of my colleagues, one in podiatry, one in dermatology, were concerned that the diagnosis of a wart might have been an error. Corns on the feet and seborrheic keratosis both can masquerade as warts, and the treatment for those conditions is different. Being sure of the diagnosis, which may require dermoscopy or even biopsy, might keep a person from unnecessary treatments and lead them to a successful treatment sooner. Dr. Roach regrets that he is unable to answer individual letters, but will incorporate them in the column whenever possible. Readers may email questions to toyourgoodhealth@med.cornell.edu or send mail to 628 Virginia Drive, Orlando, Florida, 32803.
Man tells daughter to make him a grandfather ASAP. Dear Abby, I love both my parents so much, but I'm definitely closer to my dad. He has been there for me through it all, and now that I'm older, I want to be the best daughter possible to him. Here's the issue. Dad was older when I came along, and he's impatient for grandkids. I'm 20 and on the pre-med track in college, and my career path will make me a very busy individual for years to come. Because of this, I planned to postpone having kids until later on. I want to be able to spend time with them and be an involved parent. But doing the math, Dad would be in his 70s by the time I had a child, and I'm worried he won't be able to see them grow up. He says he deserves to have grandkids sooner rather than later and has assured me that he'll take care of them for me so I can work. I feel so torn. I want to make sure he gets to meet his grandkids, but I also feel it would be unfair to them if I can't spend time with them. What should I do? Signed, On the Fast Track. Dear OTFT, do not knuckle under to the pressure. Your father deserves to become a grandparent when you are ready to have a child, not before. If his health is good, he could live well into his 80s and beyond. If it isn't, he should not be responsible for taking care of small children. For the sake of your child you aspire to bring into this world, do not conceive one because you feel indebted to your father. You will be better able to provide for your family once you have completed your education, internship, and residency. And found a partner. Dear Abby, I bought a condo 3 months ago that I love. There are just a few things about it that bother me. When the couple who lives upstairs walks across the floor, it sounds like Bigfoot. And when they make love, I cannot escape the loud moaning and the noisy mattress. I have talked to them about it, but nothing has changed. I'm ready to put the place up for sale. Any suggestions? Signed, Mad in Michigan. Dear Matt, before buying a home, the prospective buyer should ask whether there are any defects in the place, and a good home inspector is a must. The builder of your new condo failed to install sound dampening insulation between the floors. Before offering the place for sale, consult a contractor and ask if something can be done to remedy your problem. However, if that would be too costly, you may have to find another place to live. You have my sympathy. Dear Abby, how can I tactfully explain to a friend that no one wants to see cleavage on a 70-plus-year-old lady? I'm sure it looks okay when she leaves the house, but when she's sitting, her tops slide down and show more than they should. Or maybe she thinks she's being sexy? Signed, Mortified in Minnesota. Dear Mortified, I don't know whether your friend is trying to be sexy and neither do you. My heartfelt advice to you is to keep your nose out of her cleavage.
Horoscopes by astrologer Georgia Nichols. Happy birthday for Friday, August 6th, 2021. You are skilled with business and practical matters. You are also a spiritual person. People find it easy to get along with you because you are gracious, diplomatic, warm, and friendly. This year, certain aspects of building and construction will be important to you, perhaps literally, or perhaps you will introduce more structure into your life. Get busy. The stars show the kind of day you'll have. 5 dynamic, 4 positive, 3 average, 2 so-so, 1 difficult. Aries, March 21st through April 19th, 3 stars. Social plans might suddenly change today. You might encounter a cancellation to an event, or perhaps instead, you might get an unexpected invitation. Meanwhile, guard against sports accidents and accidents with your kids. Be vigilant. Slow down and take it easy. Tonight, keep your eyes open. Taurus, April 20th through May 20th, 2 stars. Your home routine will be interrupted today because small appliances might break down or minor breakages could occur. It could be as minor as burning the toast at breakfast, or you might have a domestic argument or worse. Patience is your best ally today. Tonight, be patient with parents. Gemini, May 21st through June 20th, 3 stars. Pay attention to everything you say and do today, because this is an accident-prone day for your sign. Be extra careful jogging, walking, biking, or driving. Slow down and be mindful and aware. Think before you speak and act. Guard against knee-jerk reactions. Tonight, do what you can to keep everything smooth and happy. Cancer, June 21st through July 22nd, 3 stars. Keep an eye on your money and your possessions today, because something unexpected, out of the blue, could impact your assets. For example, you might find money or you might lose money. Be wise and guard what you own against loss, theft, or damage. Tonight, take care of what you own. Leo, July 23rd through August 22nd, 2 stars. Today, the sun is in your sign at odds with unpredictable Uranus. This could encourage an argument with someone. It might make you overreact or be impulsive and say or do rash things that you might later regret. It also might encourage accidents. Tonight, be vigilant and stay chill. Virgo, August 23rd through September 22nd, 3 stars. Today, you might feel restless and at odds with things around you. You might not know why, but you have that feeling that you're waiting for the other shoe to drop. Relax. There is definitely a restless influence out there. Tonight, stay calm and take it easy. Libra, September 23rd through October 22nd, 3 stars. Something unusual might take place today with a friend or a group. You might suddenly meet someone unusual, which in turn leads to a very different situation. Or you might have difficulty with a friend, and the friendship might end. Your interaction with the group might go sideways. Tonight, be tactful. Scorpio, October 23rd through November 21st, 2 stars. This is a tricky day with authority figures, parents, bosses, teachers, VIPs, and the police. They might suddenly do something that catches you off guard. Or you might. You also might feel like lashing out or rebelling against any kind of restriction. Never underestimate the power of courtesy. Tonight, stay calm. Sagittarius, November 22nd through December 21st, 3 stars. Travel plans might suddenly change today. Perhaps they will be canceled, or perhaps you suddenly have to travel. Likewise, school plans might change. Something unusual and unexpected connected with the church, libraries, universities, or the government might occur. Tonight, stay chill. Capricorn, December 22nd through January 19th, 3 stars. Stay on top of things today. Make friends with your bank account. Something unexpected could impact shared property or anything that you own jointly with others. Lovers' quarrels might erupt today, especially about intimacy. Tonight, patience. Aquarius, January 20th through February 18th, 2 stars. Relations with partners and close friends are challenging today. Someone might be demanding. You might be demanding. Things might change so fast that a relationship might end, or maybe you will have a little tiff. Nothing to worry about. Tonight, stay calm. Pisces, February 19th through March 20th, 3 stars. Your work routine will have some surprises today. Computer glitches, power outages, staff shortages, something unexpected will impact how you do things today. This could be an accident-prone day for your pet, so be alert. Tonight, work.
Thank you for joining us for the readings of the Midland Reporter-Telegram and the Odessa American. This is the Recording Library of West Texas, enriching the lives of individuals with physical, visual, and learning disabilities since 1963. You can hear this program on Recording Library of West Texas Radio and on demand with your computer or favorite mobile device at recordinglibrary.org.